Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Yeah, okay. You got your mind. What are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network. We are here, as always, to do hashtag smack my picks up, for this is a big one, DJ Tony. Marco was alluding to it last week. UFC 243, Whitaker versus Adesanya, and it will take place October 6th, 2019 at the Marvel Stadium in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Whew, that's a lot to say, DJ Tony. Big card, and of course, we also have a Bellator card this weekend. But of course, Bellator 229, we're probably not going to be able to get to that one since DJ Tony, this is a pretty big card. If we do have time, maybe we'll touch on it because there's some fighters on there, man. Some fighters on there this weekend. And of course, if we have time, we may be able to get into a little AMP Radio Rewind. I digress. My name is Proteus. Let's go ahead and get into this one. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are having some problems with with Blog Talk Radio, so we do not have Pammy at this time. When we get her, we'll bring her in. But let's go ahead and move directly to the big boss man himself. It's Tony time, bitches.
Let's do it.
Hey, DJ!
Tony!
Proteus, this was a big card, but I'll tell you, if time permits, I'm kind of looking forward to Mrs. Gibbler in Bellator. So shout out to Mrs. Gibbler.
The Bellator card, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of good, recognizable names, at least, on the Bellator 229 card. Lorenz Larkin back in action. Of course, Sada Wad back in action. And, of course, you said the lovely Mrs. Gibbler. And Joe Schilling on that card as well. So, it'll be interesting if we can, if time permits, to touch on it a little bit, DJ Tony. But
absolutely.
Let's go ahead and throw to the star himself. Deep from the heart of Texas, it's Marco Fomueco, brother.
Marco Fomueco.
¿Qué pasa?
¿Qué pasa? Oh, God. Blog Talk Radio. I know.
Yeah.
Okay, you hate to
don't
love
we,
you.
Don't we love it? Yeah, don't we just love it? Good Lord. Son of
oh,
God.
My goodness. It's
especially
so good,
the amount of money we spend on it, Marco. Good Lord.
I want to spend a penny, so I'm good. Hey, okay, let's forget about all these technical difficulties and let's talk to another man. We're running out of time.
Excellent. Let's get right into it. As you said, Marco, throwing directly to the middleweight division, of course. This one to unify said title between, as I mentioned at the top, Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya. Of course, this one going down in, the perfect play area of the world for it, Marco, seeing as both guys originally hailing from New Zealand. But Whittaker obviously repping Australia right now at this particular point in time. But, of course, Robert Whittaker, the champion. Let me just pull up his tail of the tape real quickly here because I'm frazzled. The Reaper, we know him, Bobby Knuckles, 21-4-0, of course, hailing from New Zealand. 6 foot, Marco, 185 pounds. Israel Adesanya, as I mentioned, the interim champ right now, 17-0-0. I've got him marked down as hailing from Nigeria. Of course, he is, has the Nigerian lineage. 6'4",
Bobby Knuckles,
as I mentioned, 185-pound weight division. Marco, let's throw to you, since this is a big championship fight. You were very excited about it last week. What you got here in the main event?
Okay, before I start, that was a
drop
that Tony did of Bobby Knuckles. I want to say it properly. It's Bobby
you
Knuckles!
It. Yes, indeed. Do you want the odds first, big boy? Or
yeah,
big
give
boy?
Me the odds, please. Give me the odds.
All right, so Israel Adesanya at a minus 115 right now, Marco. Robert Whittaker coming back at us at a minus 105. All the odds.
Yeah, virtually a pick.
Yep.
Wow, this fight. Look, Bobby Knuckles and Adesanya, man, that's an awesome fight. Oddly enough, the guy from this originally from New Zealand claims Australia, and the guy that is originally from Nigeria claims New Zealand. Go figure.
Yeah.
But this fight is happening out there in the future, on the other side of the world.
Correct.
In Melbourne, Australia, in Marvel Stadium. You know, like, actually, I've seen pictures of the stadium. It's pretty cool. They got pictures of Avengers and Spider-Man and all over the place, man. It's pretty freaking cool stadium. But, dude, this card is top heavy. The only important fight there is the main event. And they sold out that stadium with this fight alone, dude. I've been tossing around back and forward with this fight. I mean, I recognize how talented Adesanya is. It's no joke. But people are forgetting how good Bobby Knuckles is, man. And
yeah.
A lot of people are on the Adesanya high train, and that's not really so. The guy is really freaking good. You know, he got an epic fight with Kelvin Gastelum. But this is all the marbles, man. And okay, this is my breakdown. I am picking Bobby Knuckles because Bobby Knuckles! but I think, what a lot of people don't know is that Bobby Knuckles, man, qualified twice for the Australian wrestling team for the Olympics and the World Championships and stuff like that. He's been, like, wrestling straight out since 2015 and qualifying for the freaking national team. He has not, we haven't seen it except for his defensive wrestling against Romero. But I think this whole fight is going to predicate on him using it. It's like a secret weapon we haven't seen, and he's going to, now is the time to pull out that card. I don't see it that he has to take the fight to the ground specifically, but you know that Adesanya predicates his offense on those things. If he's in a space and fainting you, he frees you, and then he snipes you. Well, guess what you cannot freaking faint? With your back against the cage, or even with your back against the canvas? Whittaker, man, he's a really good striker. And Gastelum was able to touch Adesanya, and Whittaker, I think he will be able to touch Adesanya too, but he packs more power, man. He's he's a more of a knockout artist than Gastelum is. Not throwing down Kevin Castro because he got some knockouts of his own, and his boxing is awesome. Like I said, I think this fight is going to be played a lot against the cage, and it would take us then. We want to see the wrestling come into place because that will negate the feint of Mr. Adesanya. He cannot be trying to feint and trying to strike his striking when he's worried about the takedown and, you know, trying to get on his back of the cage. Man, Adesanya never been knocked out. Whittaker hasn't either. We all saw how tough Adesanya was in a Kevin Gastelum fight. We all see how tough Whittaker. He wants to fight for another fight with one leg for crying out loud. This fight is going the distance. This fight is going to be razor close, man. This fight, and I'm going to go with a decision for all the marbles. But I think Whittaker edged it out in a split decision. That it's going to be that good of a fight, that epic of a fight. But Whittaker is still your UFC middleweight champion. And he's going to set up, telling you, these guys are going to fight 3 times in their career. He's going to set up a rematch sometime this year, sometime at this time next year, within these two, because they are this good. They're the creme de la creme of the division right now. I mean, you got Pablo Acosta looming on the shadows, but that's a conversation for another day. So give me Bobby Knuckles, a split decision, and still freaking middleweight champion.
All right, yeah, it's definitely a back and forth kind of a fight. All right, so let's throw to Pammy. Let's get her intro in here if we can, real quick.
Bang, dun, 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 whatever, you know. Bang, right. Come a few bars.
Snap out of it! Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Hey, y'all. I am back.
What's happening,
like
Pammy?
Jimmy Lannister with one hand. I'm good. I almost busted my speeches open today, but I am good. I'm getting better. Like I say, I want to get my stitches out, but I called the doctor and I'm like, I can't. I have to wait till the 15th. So I'm like, I said, like the King Slayer with just my good hand. What's up, guys? I missed y'all.
We miss you too, Pammy. And we didn't really update the audience, the listening audience, on what had happened to you. Tony just had said that you were out, with something that wasn't very Spurgeon, but if you wanted to tell us what happened, feel free. If not, then...
Well, it's called trigger finger. So I don't know if y'all know what carpal tunnel is. I guess that has to do with the wrist. Well, trigger finger is what happened. Like on my right hand, my ring finger like kept collapsing and it wouldn't open.
Oh my God.
I would have to like literally like click my finger open, like, and it was so painful. So what they had to do, they said that the tendon gets inflamed, so they had to cut the palm of my hand open and go through my ring finger and like clean out my tendon, like kind of scrape my tendon. So the palm of my hand is kind of stitched up right now.
See what happened?
See
what happened when you go on all those undercover missions to assassinate terrorists and stuff, snapping them with rifles and stuff? That trigger finger, we get it.
I know. Well, somebody said, well, stop shooting people. I'm like, well, I know, but, you know. So it's on the mend. It just feels like I slammed, like, all my fingers in a door, you know, just.
Oh.
But I took pain meds for, like, the first 2 days, and I'm like, okay, I can't take this stuff anymore because, you know, that stuff leaves you loopy and, you know, gross. But I'm back.
That's what good about the
weed. That's exactly it.
And you know what? It's like I said, I'm better today than I was last week, so that's good, right?
Absolutely. Welcome back. We missed you as well. Of course, last week was not very good to any of us, really. But we'll get to the end of that later, Pammy. So let's throw to you in the main event of UFC 243. Who you got?
All right, Whitaker versus Adesanya. I think this is going to be a really good fight. What I question is, I know everybody's Israel Adesanya, like the second coming of Johnny Bones Jones, or blah, 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 you know, mameando about that stuff. But I'm not on that bandwagon because I am all Robert Whitaker, Bobby Knuckles, the Reaper. Oh, my God, the epitome of class. He's just like the most vicious, gentle soul. I love this guy. Wrestling, boxing, jiu-jitsu, brown belt, Hapkido, black belt, karate, black belt. I think that he does have a better fight resume than Adesanya. Adesanya is, you know, both of these guys are relatively young, Robert being 20 and Israel being 30. He's 6'4 with an 80-inch reach versus Whitaker's 6 foot with 73.5. But, you know, I like I said, I just think he has a better fight resume. His last fight was to Wonderboy Thompson in 2014, and I think he was still a very green Robert Whitaker. Both of these guys have fought Tavares. Israel beat Tavares by decision. Robert Whitaker beat him by KO. I think that people tend to forget that Whitaker went 25. He went 50 minutes with Yoel Romero in like the most probably crazy back and forth fight that you have ever seen. I'm picking Whitaker, third round TKO.
All right. So Pammy
needs to be humbled.
Yeah. Okay. Third round TKO for Pammy. Tony.
Oh, what are the odds? Did we do that yet?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we did. We did them, but I'll give them to you again. It's, as Marco said, it's basically a pick 'em. Adesanya is at a -115. Robert Whitaker at a -105. Pammy.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, so DJ Tony, we're hearing a lot of the same coming out of Marco's mouth and Pam's mouth. You know, maybe everybody's sleeping on Bobby Knuckles. You know, don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years, as Pammy's saying. So what do you got here, DJ Tony, in the main event, UFC 243?
Well, Proteus, as the great 70s song once said, shout out to Aaliyah, Rock the Boat to Rock the Boat Baby by the Hughes Corporation. Look that up, kids. H-U-E-S.
Rock the boat, baby, rock the boat.
Thank you, Cody. Don't tip the boat over. Keep in mind, don't tip the boat over. Here's a tough part. Listen, I probably the first, I don't know, right after he was in that tough thing, I basically, I didn't believe in Bobby Whitaker, you know, lost too straight to Court McGee and, like Pam said, to Stephen Thompson. That was a very young and weight-cutting Bobby Whittaker, right? He's not that large for the division, but, heck, look at Yoel Romero, right? He's not that large for the division. But I keep looking at this. His losses, Boone Kim, right, via submission, Jesse Juarez, his lone loss, meaning to a striker, was Stephen Thompson, right? He lost via TKO. But he beat Uriah Hall, right? Beat Souza, obviously Souza and Yoel Romero are both wrestlers slash grapplers or whatever you want to call it. Yoel. I don't know what the heck he is. I just don't see him losing, Proteus. Bobby Whittaker, like Pam said, class, just an all-around great guy, as Marco says, of course, Bobby Knuckles. I'm picking Bobby Knuckles. I don't think he has too many fights in him left. I really don't. I think his career is going to be marred by injury, unfortunately. And it's a shame because of all of the fighters, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. Get ready to hit a drop here. Of all the fighters that I've seen in the modern era, he's the closest to GSP, guys, in my opinion. Just the way he acts, the way he behaves, his class. I'm picking Bobby Whittaker. Robert Whittaker, Bobby Knuckles. I don't know. I'm picking Robert John Whittaker, born December 20th of 1990, via decision in a full-out brawl. I mean, this is going to be one of the best fights, toughest fight that I've had a call, like literally where I don't know which way to go. But like I always say, Proteus, no one can stay undefeated. No one. So I think Scott Bender is going to take his loss. Bobby Knuckles, decision.
All right, DJ Tony, you and Marco riding with the decision. Of course, Pam putting her neck out there, third round TKO.
I am riding with this split decision.
That's correct. I wrote that down as well, split decision. like you guys just said, like you said, Tony, it's one of these back and forth kind of fights for me. Even the odds makers, it's a flip of a coin, really. I mean, I'm sure there's money coming in on the fights, but it really, really close. Now everybody's probably in the same boat. I think what you guys have been saying, the breakdown that you guys have been putting out there is pretty accurate. If Bobby Knuckles is able to get on the inside of that reach, like you said, Pam, and work his game, like you said, Marco, maybe get that wrestling game going. Also, like everyone has said, he's the only fighter that I know of that has taken the Cuban muscle crisis to, as you said, all 10 rounds and come out victorious. Yes, you can say the second fight was maybe a little bit closer than we would like to have seen, but come on, Yoel Romero is a beast. I think the wrestling is going to come into to this one as well, Marco. I think Adesanya has some holes in this game. We've seen it, and this is a guy, I mean, Calvin Gastelum, great, pretty good wrestler as well, but I think Whitaker's on another level here, guys, and I'm going to take also Bobby Knuckles on this one, retaining the title. I don't know. Like you said, Marco, I think we see these guys clash again in the future. I just think they're both too talented to not, you know, just have another meeting, or maybe two, like you said. But I'm taking Bobby Knuckles. Pammy, I'm going to take him in the fourth round. Also by TKO. I think he wears on him, Pammy, and I think Bobby Knuckles wears on him, Pammy, and gets him out of there in the fourth. Okay, guys. Excellent, excellent. I didn't mention it at the top, but I hope everybody has the Spotlight Fight of the Night, everyone's favorite segment, because we will be doing that after the co-main event. Of course, this one, DJ Tony, also, in my opinion, if you want to cue the music, go for it. Yep. To the lightweight division we go. Here we go. To the lightweight division we go. Al, don't boo me, I'll boo you. You know, Ada Quinta versus Dan Hooker. Looking very impressive lately, Dan Hooker. I give you guys the odds right now, Pammy. Plus 160 for Al Iaquinta. Coming back out of Dan Hooker is at a minus 185. Pammy, let's throw directly to you, because I'm sure you're going to give us the records and everything. So why don't you go ahead and break it down for us?
All right, here we go. Hang on, let me get back to my guy.
There it is.
Okay. El Iaquinta versus Dan Hooker, Dan the Hangman Hooker. El Iaquinta, 32-570 with a 70-inch reach versus Dan Hooker, 29-6. Remember I said that last time, 6'0". He's 6 feet with a 75-inch reach. Once again, that reach, got that great reach advantage. Iaquinta has won 7 of his last 10. Hooker won 7 of his last 10. Again, I'm going back to, I'm looking at a lot of fight resume. Keep in mind that Iaquinta has wins over Kevin Lee and over Masvidal, over the famous, hey, don't boo me, motherfuckers. you know, but anyway, as I was looking at Dan Hooker, hang on, let me get him up here. Losses to Barboza, losses to Jason Knight, Yair Rodriguez, Maximo Blanco, wins over Mark Diakisi, Ross Pearson, Mark Ediva. I don't know who that is. I'm looking at a fight resume for this. I'm hoping that El Iaquinta learned from his mistakes with Donald Cerrone, because he and Hooker have a little bit of the same fighting style, actually almost very close fighting style, but I got to go with El. I'm picking, you know what, I'm going with a KO again, another second round TKO, El Iaquinta for me, please.
Second, did you say second?
And it's
Sorry?
Not the drugs. I'm not doing drugs.
Second round KO?
TKO, yeah.
Thank you. Right, thank you, DJ Tony. That is the drop. The famous Iaquinta drop. DJ Tony, let's throw to you here in the co-main event. Another kind of close fight, in my opinion. Iaquinta, of course, number 5 in division against Dan Hooker, I believe, number 9 in the division. Number 11 in the division. This is a big fight for Hooker, correct, DJ Tony? I mean, if he gets this one, he's knocked off a big name in Iaquinta and maybe moves up in the ranks. So a lot on the line here for Hooker. What you got?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Proteus. You know, we always want to pick – we always want to go with the Hooker, right?
Can't do it.
Exactly. nothing? All right, never mind. You know what? Thank you, Brian Callen. I'll ring myself on that one. By the way, someone is stealing our drop on that one. Just want to say – there's a big show that's stealing our drop on that one. Listen, the one thing about Dan Hooker is, Dan Hooker, he's a lot bigger, guys. You know, I mean, allegedly, Al Iaquinta's 5'10". If he's 5'10", I'm 6'2". So, listen, I just think...
I have him down at 5'7".
I think you're probably right. I think he's listed as 5'10". So you're probably right.
Yeah, website,
but if you see who he's lost to, guys, meaning Dan Hooker, he loses to people that are strikers, that are, you know, Jason Knight, Yair Rodriguez. Jason Knight, you probably wouldn't think of as a striker, but he's a brawler, right? Yair Rodriguez, mm-hmm. Edson Barboza. El Iaquinta is none of that, right? El Iaquinta's kind of like a Colby Covington, right? He's going to grind you. He's going to, you know, bully you. He's going to try to, you know, if you look at his fights, yes, he's had TKO stoppages of people like Ross Pearson, people like Joe Lauzon, even Diego Sanchez, right? But he's not really a striker, guys. Look at his the way he fights. That's not really who he is, even though he's had a lot of TKOs. I just can't see him finishing Dan Hooker at home or semi-home. So for no reason aside from that Dan Hooker is close to home and El Iaquinta has to take a 14-hour flight or whatever that is from New York to New Zealand or to Melbourne.
Oh, my God, that's like 1,000 hours. Jeez.
Yeah.
Probably,
it's
right?
It's the future, Pam.
So
I know, right?
With the future and 1,000-hour flight, I'm taking Dan
that's
Hooker
like
via
Mars.
Decision.
5 years.
Decision?
Via decision, and I'm gonna do a Marco via split decision. How about that?
All right. He's mowing your lawn there, buddy. Hey, Marco.
You better not boo me.
What's up?
I said Mark was cramping your style and taking that split decision.
Like GSP will say, I'm not impressed with your performance.
All right, Mark, we'll get you to finish this fight off. I'll go next in the co-main event here. Again, big day for the camp of Hooker and Adesanya will be Saturday. Both guys come hailing from the same camp. Both guys in the main event and the co-main event. The pressure, like you guys said, we'll probably be on Dan Hooker on this one because, of course, he's going to get probably the bigger pop, even though Al is a bigger name. Just to alleviate your concerns, Iaquinta has been in Melbourne for over a week now. DJ Tony, he came over early to get himself acclimatized, which is very smart. I have actually been to Australia. I actually have been on that flight. It is not a nice one. So getting it out of the way and getting yourself kind of acclimatized to being in the future is important. I think Iaquinta is a tough test for Dan Hooker right now, guys, at this particular time. Yeah, Dan looked really impressive in his last fight, getting that first round TKO KO. But again, against the striker, like you guys were saying, Al Iaquinta was in there against a tough striker in his last fight in the cowboy fight. And Dan Hooker is a tough dude. He's not going to just roll over and go away. Al Iaquinta is going to be able to get to Dan Hooker, put his hands on him. And like you were saying, DJ Tony, not necessarily noted striker, but he's got that tough wrestling striking, I believe, you know, that really fast overhand right comes, you know, really quickly and it's kind of redundant, but whatever. I think Alex Iaquinta has a good chance here, DJ Tony. I think that Dan Hooker is not going to go away early, but I think Al's going to get to him in the third. I'm going to take TKO. All right, Marco, you are the voice of reason here in the co-main event, buddy. What do you got?
For the sake of any freaking Australian hotel room, I hope Alex went to wins.
Just saying, right?
Yeah, I also made that tip to the future a couple of times when I was stationed in Korea, in South Korea. Yeah, that flies.
Yep.
So,
yeah, it's terrible.
Dude, let's not forget, right now, we're all 5 rounds with freaking having Nurmagomedov with like 20 minutes notice, you know? I think.
Exactly.
He has faced a better competition, he has beat the better competition. He's well trained, you know. He's for the Luongo Serra freaking camp. He got partners like Chris Wyman as his freaking sparring partners, man. Iaquinta's going to be prepared for this fight. I mean, Hooker has been entertaining. He has been good. I don't think he's that good. And we're going to have a wake up call for him on this fight. I mean, for better or for worse, Iaquinta has, ever since his inception in the UFC, he has always been a really, really good fighter. He has been really, really good guys. Hooker, not so much, man. I mean, he's been impressive, but against who? And that is a question. This is a real best test. I mean, we might have some chase of Jake Romanson, and we're going to see that on the rewind later. You know, number 5 against somebody below him. And we saw what Caronier did.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to happen in this one, though. I've seen Iaquinta is a little bit better, a little bit savvier, and he got more tools on his freaking belt. You know, not only is he a really good striker, but he's also a very, very good grappler. And he doesn't show his wrestling as much on his fight because he prefers to stand and trade, but if he wants to, he can take it to the ground, and that is what we're going to see him shine. I'm going to take Iaquinta with a straight 30-27 decision.
Okay. I mean, look at what the wrestling game was on display, as you mentioned, against Nurmi. Nurmi wasn't able to take him down. You know what I mean? Like, he got him down the one time, I believe, in the beginning of the first. Al got back up, and then, you know, they basically traded for the rest of the fight because the wrestling is on point for Iaquinta, Marco. Absolutely agree there. Okay, guys, that brings us I wanted to comment one thing, Tony, on what you said at one of the big shows taking our drops. I think since day one, all of the big shows have been listening to us. So that's a testament to the great job that we do on this show. And I thank all of our loyal listeners for listening, because it always amazes me that anybody listens to the four of us ramble, but whatever. I love it. Thank you very much. Listen, guys, let's go ahead and throw into everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night, of course. Marco, well, let's go ahead and start with you once more. Who you got in your Spotlight Fight of the Night, brother?
Good. I'm going to take it from Tony because I know he's going to take it Wednesday, but I want to take it. Megan Anderson is fighting on this card.
Oh, no.
Back in
Australia. Oh, my goodness.
She needs a legit win, man. I mean, her only win was a freaking eye poke kick to Katsingano's eye. She's on home turf, man. They're giving her a gear that is very beatable. You know, this Brazilian chick that I never heard about of. And we have to make something of Megan Anderson, and I think they gave her a winnable fight to shine on her home turf. I'm going to pick up Megan Anderson by TKO in the second round. There you go.
Anderson, second round TKO. Tony, well, let's throw it to you, because if you got I know that you wanted to say the same one. If you want to cue the music, go for it.
You know what? I'm not going to cue the music only because Tammy's singing it. And, of course, Marco took my fight. Who would have thought that I would have been a Megan Anderson fan? Of all people,
I know, duh,
why
right?
would I like a hot, tall woman? So I can't cue the music.
They cut off me.
So, yeah, I won't be able to cue the music today. Unfortunately, Marco took my fight. However, I do have a fight for you guys. I'm not going to take Pam's fight. The only thing I will say about Pam's fight is that person that you're going to choose is fighting the Wolfman, and that person will be wearing a V-neck
right?
all day long.
I was going to say,
God,
is it sweater weather down there?
For sure. Good Lord. Hopefully someone will give him a wax deal somewhere down the line, or maybe, you know, what's that shaving company? You know what? We need that sponsor.
No,
darn, we forgot our sponsor again, Proteus. We're going to lose this one. I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going with the heavyweights, guys. I'm picking up my Adidas right now. I'm pouring an 805 in it. I think that's a beer. I'm going since, of course, Holly Holm. You know what? Two times I can't cue the music. Holly Holm's out, and Megan Anderson was taken by Marco. I will take Ty Tuivasa holding my Adidas with an 805 in a Las Lunitas. I am assuming those are beers. And he will knock out Sergey Spivak, only because I can't pronounce Spivak correctly. Ty Tuivasa, TKO, second round, over Sergey Spivak.
All right. All right, Tammy, let's throw it to you. What you got?
Yep.
Spotlight fight of the night.
My spotlight fight of the evening is Jake Matthews versus Rostam Akman.
Okay.
And Jake Matthews, I'm up and coming. He's adorable. 25, 5'11", 73-inch reach versus Rostam Akman. I had to do my research on this dude because I cannot find him anywhere. 27, he's 6 feet tall with a 72-inch reach, wearing his sweater straight off the Tom Galicchio collection. I could not find any really prevalent information on this guy. I do know that he has some sort of KO power. He did fight in April, May, and June, and he lost a decision in June. So he has 5 KOs and 1 sub. So I don't know if he's fighting too much, but regardless, I am going with Jake Matthews. Jake Matthews beat me, who was coming off 4 wins, has won 6 of his last 4. I think he's just up and coming. I think he's fabulous. A submission master. I'm picking him by a second round submission.
Okay. Second round sub. Proteus is going to go with the Diego Lima fight. I'm not sure where they found Luke Jumau. I know he's from also from the area. Diego Lima is definitely no joke. Two white two-fight winning spree, of course, just recently fought Court McGee. Got that decision there. I don't believe this one is going to decision. I'm going to take Lima. I'm going to take him in the first round by KO. All right, there we go. DJ Tony, since you are the resident Bellator man, why don't you, if you want to touch on Bellator real quickly, feel free. We got about 20 minutes left in the show, so I'd like to move on to Rewind, but if you want to mention it, please do.
Yeah, you know what? We got to give it up to Bellator because even though they've had the back-to-back-to-back, I don't know why they don't book things.
Back-to-back?
Yeah. Back-to-back-to-back, right? Literally, right?
Yeah.
The word literally is not used correctly, but this time it is being used correctly. You got to give it up. Andrei Koreshkov, who I thought was probably the best Bellator fighter at the time, going up against Lawrence Larkin. Hopefully Lawrence Larkin will make some sort of comeback. Pam's one and only Joe Schilling is on that card. And let's not forget, Mrs. Gibbler at a catchweight, Carrie Ann Melendez fighting the beautiful fit, Mandy Polk. The reason why I say that is she's beautiful, she's fit, but she's not much of a fighter. Carrie Ann Melendez, man, I'll tell you, she is one hell of a fighter, even though she has a lot of a striker, even though she has a lot of time in between. This is going to be a good card, Proteus, and it will be in Temecula, California. Shout out to Dan Hendo at the Pechanga Resort and Casino. So make sure you look at that.
And, of course, that's Friday night. Of course, the UFC is on following that on Saturday night, so the 4th and the 5th. Again, a busy weekend of MMA with no delay. Let's get to it, Marco. Let's throw into a little AMP radio rewind.
Rewind.
All right. So let's go back to the weekend that was, Marco. As Tony had mentioned, there's lots of cards. In fact, Ben Henderson fought on the Friday night, was able to take a train or a plane to Denmark and to corner his fellow teammate. That's how crazy of a weekend it was in MMA. Where to start, guys? I think we should start in the UFC because we had a pretty abysmal week, Marco, for picks. I think basically it was the Bellator picks that saved us because no one got the main event correct. We all took Hermanson. Our spotlight fights of the night, nobody picked a winner in those for the UFC card. But Bellator is where you guys shine the most. DJ Tony, congratulations. You win again this week. You retired with Pam last week. You took it down with 3 points. Marco, you were swiftly behind him with 2 points. And I managed to get my name on the board. Thank God for that with 1 point. So, Marco, let's start with you in the main event. As I mentioned, Hermanson, we all picked him. Looked to me, Marco, like Hermanson had a little bit of too much pressure on him in this particular instance and kind of put all he had in the first round. And then by the end of the first round was definitely losing steam. But let's throw to you. What were your thoughts in the main event last week?
Look, I'm going to briefly talk about the main event, but the ban on the hour was the co-main. So on the main event, Hermanson did, he said it himself. Like, he wants to be a world champion, but Cannonier showed him that he's not ready for it. You know, thrust to Cannonier, I want him to be checked for performance-enhancing rocks because he got all those holistic crystals all around.
Ouch.
With pirates. So he got the power of the universe on him. So we got to, you said, check those rocks. Couldn't they look great, man? Let's give credit where credit is due. Kermans was able to get it where he wanted. He took Kermans down a couple of times, and he was able to execute some ground and pound, but it wasn't enough. Kermans found his way back to his feet, and then he took over. And we've seen that the guy can crack, and he gets you to the ground. He's vicious. So, cross to Kermans. But the man of the hour for me was Marco Manson, the Olympic silver medalist from Greco-Roman on the 2016 Olympics. This guy had the whole country of Denmark behind his freaking back. And I think because he's 35, we need to fast track this guy. I've been making this point. Every single wrestler with Olympic pedigree that had come to MMA back in the days, Dan Henderson, Matt Vigeland, Randy Couture, and of the modern era, freaking on the freestyle, you got Cormier, Seguro, Askren, and Romero, they have all become elite fighters, and a lot of them have become champions. The ceiling is super high for Romanson, dude, because, you know, he's been a silver medalist in the World Championships several times, and like I said, silver medalist in the Olympics. He looks super dominant, but he's 35, man. I don't know. Fast track this dude real quick. He already got the built-in fan base, Denmark, the whole country. Remember what the built-in fan base did for freaking the Irishman. So the only thing that I'm worried about is that his freaking manager is Ali Adelesliz, you know, the same manager of Victor Magomedov. So this guy, Ali Adelesliz, is going to do whatever it takes to get him away from Khabib, because with the pedigree of Manson, I think he's one of the few guys out there with Gregor Gillespie that can actually neutralize Khabib's freaking wrestling and actually get Khabib trouble. Because besides that, those are the true, only true wrestlers of the whole division. Everyone else on 155, not really a wrestler. But these two, Gregor Gillespie, national champion, Marco Manson, Olympic-level wrestler, by just accolades alone, are superior wrestlers than Khabib. Khabib's MMA is fantastic, but I think those are the two only guys that can give freaking Khabib trouble if Khabib stands around long enough for them to actually meet him. So, props to Marco Manson, man. And by the way, I class up. The guy who has been on the media all around, and the guy's a class up, man. And I really became a fan, and it's the first time I ever seen him play.
Yeah, I mean, coming back to the UFC after such a long period of time out of the had to go back to Cage Wars, I do believe, right? And then come now back into the UFC.
UFC debut. He's, you know,
okay,
Cage
so my mistake.
Warrior.
I was thinking of someone else. My apologies. Yeah, it looked incredible. Let me give you guys the Coles notes, and then I'll throw to Pammy and to DJ Tony. These are my Coles notes of the main card. We'll start at the bottom. We can work our way to the top. Dalby looked impressive to me. I was not happy with some of the officiating that happened in that particular fight. OSP does it again. Marco,
horrible.
As you know, we have to change that name now to...
Please, let's start the rally right now. It's not the Van Fleet choke anymore. It's the Sam Prue choke. The motherfucker can pull the shit out four times. He already took the back of cookies and ran away with it. It's his freaking move. Van Fleet was the guy that did it first. But Sam Prue, that owns the freaking move now, is the guy that has done it the most successfully. He owns the freaking move now. And people know that shit is coming, and they cannot fucking stop it. So it's a Sam Prue show.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool to listen to the commentary team actually break it down, how he set that up. And not a single chance. Okay, moving right along. Roundtree absolutely got handled. Gunnar Nelson, I don't know, on again, off again, Gunnar Nelson. Wasn't impressed. Mark Madsen, like you said, Marco looked impressive, super impressive, got that fight done real quickly. And Danilo did not seem like he appreciated that grounded pound at all. Seemed like he was down on the ground for a little while. And Hermanson, as I said at the top, just did not seem to have it. You know, like you said, Marco, got the fight down where he wanted to, when he wanted to, but I think it drained him. I think, you know, he had a huge adrenaline dump and just was not the same. And Cannoneer, wow, what a powerful guy that guy is, man.
Hey, I got to give it to Manson. I got to give it to Hermanson. Nice suplex.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, and then Hermanson obviously did not appreciate the ground and pound of Cannoneer either. Looked like it was very painful. Pammy, let's throw to you, and then we'll close the AMP radio. We wind off with Tony. Pammy, how was your viewing experience? Are you still enjoying the ESPN Plus?
Well, I am going to be honest, and you know what? Saturday, I worked all day Saturday with my Saturday to work, so I missed everything.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't laugh at me. I, I remember watching some Bellator, but I was on painkillers, so I don't even remember.
Oh, perfect.
Is that awful?
Do you want to get
hurt? Totally fine and understandable.
But I can tell you,
do you wanna
Gegard Mousasi is funny. Oh, my, that is a funny dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I watched the after press conference when he was talking about, that guy's a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Yeah,
he's
a pretty funny dude.
I was out of it.
No worries. That's okay. He's a pretty funny dude, and it's good to see his personality really starting. And we started to see it coming out
right?
a little bit in UFC, but now that he's in Bellator, he feels like he can really be himself. Go ahead.
Hey, don't you think that Coker was doing the freaking throat slash with the hand, like, hey, cut it out, Greg. Nobody's thinking about that freaking testing for steroids and stuff. But don't put that in spoiler alert. Doing the, like a quitter, man, cut it out.
Yeah.
Oh, but no. When he said about the monkey steroids, oh my God, that I thought that was a riot.
All right, so
Gegard has a point. Gegard has a freaking point because
sure.
there ain't no USADA on a freaking Bellator. All they do is the freaking weak the weak testing that the freaking commission do. That's it.
Yep, absolutely.
Gegard,
let's throw to you, DJ Tony. Do you want to start with the main event, or do you want to spotlight a fight that you thought stood out to you? Go ahead. The floor is yours. What did you think about last weekend? I mean, if you wanted to pull from a Bellator card, please do as well. It's up to you.
You know what? As my great friend Matt Smith once said, you're burying the lead here. Listen, how can we not talk about Dan Crusty Elbows Mert Liotta and Michael Venom Page? I think we're burying the lead on this one, you guys, because we've seen this before from Dan Mergliotta with the faces with Dan Hardy. And listen, I want to make a face at Dan Hardy too, right? I'm sorry, if you beat a woman, there's no excuse for that.
Greg Hardy.
You beat anyone else.
Greg Hardy.
Really?
Greg Hardy, yeah, sorry.
Greg Hardy. Well, what did I say? Oh, I said the great Dan Hardy.
Dan Hardy.
See, I was
so impressed by Dan Hardy wanting to make a comeback that I immediately went to Dan Hardy. Shout out to the Mohawk. Listen, we got to talk about Dan Mergliotta and Venom Page. I don't know how we can bury that lead, you guys.
Go for it. Your floor is yours.
Well, I don't think – listen, I think too many times referees jump in and do something that they shouldn't do. Typically, it's a bad call. But when you are taking your own feelings and making faces, well, you know you're being filmed, right? I mean, this isn't something that's foreign to anyone. This is being filmed. It's on a major platform. Heck, it's on ESPN. And you're going to – or rather, on this one is DAZN. So maybe it's not a major platform. But he's been on major platforms before with Greg Hardy and others, right? Making faces, mm-hmm. doing his own stuff. Apparently, this hasn't been the first time that he's verbally abused – Michael Venom Page. Listen, I don't know what to do with Dan Mergliotta. I think Dan Mergliotta is a good ref. I think he's probably a really good person. He had a quadruple bypass or something recently, which is why he lost a lot of weight. So I'm glad he's healthy. I'm pretty sure he's a good person, but he can't do this, you guys. You can't put your feelings in this. Your job is to be objective. And you're coming in here and you already have a mindset of who you want to win and lose. And maybe we all do, right? But you're a ref. You need to stay neutral.
Well said. Well said. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have anything to add to that? Or should we get out of here for the night?
Real quick, look, I understand that Dan Mugliera, what he did is wrong because it's not his job to pass judgment on the actions of the fighters. He's there to referee and to be an impartial freaking element on the fight. But we have to agree that what Michael Benopage did at the end of the fight was kind of a dick move, man. Not the showboarding per se, but after the guy's being attended by the freaking doctors, he approached the freaking down fighter and he started talking shit to him when he's being attended. That's kind of a piece of shit move, man. I don't mind the showboarding. I don't mind the taunting because, you know, I celebrated when Nick Diaz does it and Nate Diaz does it. I celebrated when, you know, people do their crazy things. Like, I saw the Pokemon Ball thing. It was super funny back in the day. But when the guy is on the ground already being attended by doctors, okay, stay away from the dude, man. You don't have to go touch anyone. You already won the fight, man. And I think that is what actually set off Urieta. Whatever problems he got with Fernand Page, that over, because he already recognized himself, Urieta, that he was in the wrong. And the commission said he won't referee another Marco Fernand Page fight no more. They won't put those two on a cage together again. So that would be the end of that. But, yeah, I agree with Tony, but I also recognize that the final move that Fernand Page pulled against the down opponent after the fight was kind of a big move.
Well said. Sometimes guys can rub you the wrong way, and it seems like Ben and Paige, you either like him or you don't. Okay, guys, so let's go ahead and get out of here for this week. We're obviously going to do Twitter follows or Guilty Pleasures of the Week. We'll see you next week when we're looking forward to Joanna, ex-champion, versus Michelle the Hottie Watterson. Pammy, do you have a Twitter follow or a guilty pleasure of the week for us this week?
I'm still my guilty pleasure, y'all. 90 Day Fiancé. Oh my God. What a train wreck. Amazing. My God. It's still the tackiest stuff ever. It's so funny. But 90 Day Fiancé, you guys, check it out. Quality trash TV.
And Bammy, it's great to have you back. DJ Tony, let's go ahead and throw to you. And you have a Twitter follow. I dare say you're probably going to go with Megan Anderson on this one, since she's been putting out some exquisite photos lately.
You know what? How can you not? But Marco stole my spotlight fight, so I cannot, on principle, I cannot choose the beautiful, follow her at Megan A. MMA, Megan Anderson. But I will give you this one, guys. One of my favorite gyms, no, not AKA, yes, that's my favorite, and not Team Alpha Male. Shout out to Team Alpha Male. One of my favorite gyms is going through some turmoil, so let's follow them at Jackson Wink MMA. There's some major drama, and it's been brewing, but it seems to be getting worse, guys. So follow at Jackson Wink MMA.
All right, this week, all I'm going to say to you guys is that it's official. We're getting a Bad Motherfucker Championship, and I do believe that that title should 100% stay with Donald Cowboy Cerrone. That's all I got for you. That's just a comment. Marco, why don't you go ahead and get us out of here for this week? You got a guilty pleasure. You got a Twitter follow. What you got, brother?
I got a literal guilty pleasure of the week. On Friday, the new season of Ancient Aliens starts on the History Channel. In honor of that, the whole week they're doing a marathon of UFO shows, unexplained shows, paranormal shows. If you're into that shit that is funny as hell, check the History Channel. No matter what time of the day, they got some sort of alien show going on, because Ancient Aliens starts next Friday. Follow Pam. I'm Pandora Box, follow Tony Pigetto and DJ Tony, follow Producer and Produce, follow me and Marco Marco, follow the show at Another MMA Cast, Veteran Reviewers Advocates, we're on Block Talk Radio with all the technical difficulties, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, Fight in Melbourne, Australia this weekend, Marvel Stadium, the middleweight championship of the world. If you don't watch this fight, you don't love fucking MMA. Bobby Knuckles is fighting! I'm going to leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
And just like that, Pammy.
Out of here. Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.